Welcome to Pilates Elephants. I am Raphael Bender. And today I want to talk about something that I'm kind of changing my position on, which is not a scientific finding, but it is kind of a philosophical position, which I'm kind of in the process of changing my view on. And that is the question of, do you need to know anatomy to teach Pilates? Now, for many years up until, I don't know, the last maybe 12 months, I would have given a clear and definite no to that. You don't need to know anatomy to teach Pilates very well. You don't need to know anatomy to be a great Pilates teacher. But I find myself questioning that and shifting a little. And I would now say I don't have a clear and definite no to that question. I now think probably yes, it does significantly help, but not for the reasons that you might think. So I'm going to say yes, but not for the reasons you might think. All right, so firstly, why did I think you don't need to know anatomy to teach Pilates? Well, I still think the reasons I had for believing you don't need to know anatomy to teach Pilates have not changed. I still believe them. But there's an additional factor which I now believe is important, or I now recognize is important, which I think changes the mix a little. All right, so the original reasons why I think you don't need to know anatomy to teach Pilates is because Pilates is not anatomy, it's movement. And the skills of teaching Pilates, for example, knowing the exercises, knowing how to teach movement, you know, how to construct a session, how to use your words and your body to guide clients through the movement, how to give feedback so that clients improve their technique, how to adjust intensity up or down so clients can perform the movements at the right level of intensity for them, how to encourage people and motivate people, how to accommodate different levels of ability within the same group, how to modify your programming for when you have a client in the group who is sore or injured or pregnant or has some other kind of physical limitation. All of these are important skills, I think, for a Pilates instructor, but none of them requires you to know anatomy. For example, in the case of someone with a back injury, all you need to do is read the 10-page chapter in the American College of Sports Medicine Guidelines for Exercise Testing and Prescription on exercise for low back pain. And that will tell you what to do and what to not do. And you don't need to know any anatomy to know that certain things are going to be helpful for that client. You don't need to know why. If you do the things, the client will probably experience benefit. Likewise, when cueing a movement, cueing a client through, say, the footwork on the reformer, cueing them to press out smoothly, reach as far as possible so their legs are completely straight, move the carriage as quietly as possible. None of this requires any knowledge of anatomy. Now, there are those who would say that when cueing an exercise, say footwork, well, it does require a knowledge of anatomy because you need to cue which muscles to use. So as you're pressing the carriage out, if you're in footwork position number one with the heels together, toes apart, Well, you should be cueing, some people think, drawing the inner thighs together, pulling the kneecaps up, engaging the glutes, activating the core. But I would argue, and the research suggests, that effective cueing of movements should focus on a few simple aspects of results and performance of the movement, not on which muscles to activate. So when I say results and performance, the result would be the external object, say the carriage, moving silently and smoothly. And the performance would be the movement of the body parts or the lack of movement of the body parts. So for example, squeeze your thighs together requires the adductors to activate. And you don't need to know anything about adductors to be able to say to your client, squeeze your thighs together. Keeping your pelvis still and your back pressed towards the carriage surface will engage the lower abdominals and the glutes, but you don't need to know anything about lower abdominals or glutes in order to say, press your lower back towards the carriage. So you can learn how to be a fantastic Pilates instructor without knowing any anatomy. And I still stand by that. In a perfect world. But, dear listener, and this probably will not be news to you, we don't live in a perfect world. And the nature of the world is such that, and this is one of the beautiful things about the world as well, that different people have different ideas about things. That's kind of what makes it interesting. I mean, if the world was like 8 billion identical twins, that would be kind of super boring. It would be like a huge ant colony or the Borg or something. I wouldn't want that. I don't imagine you would want it. But I don't know if you would want it or not, because you're a different person to me. And that's what I love about the fact that we all have different views. So I think it's a very good thing that people have different views in the world. But there are consequences of people having different views in the world, which is that people make up stories about, and you know, I'm one of those people, all of us, all people make up stories about why things are the way they are. And there are many people in the Pilates world who've been taught the story that certain things that we do in Pilates are important because of anatomy. So it's important to draw up your inner thighs because it activates your adductors. It's important to press your lower back to the carriage because it activates your core and stabilizes your lower back. And everything after the because is a story. Now, saying it's a story doesn't mean it's wrong, doesn't mean it's right, just means it's a story. So something can be a story and it can be a true story, or it can be a story and it can be a made-up fairy tale. So the fact that it's a story is neither a good nor a bad thing and doesn't say anything about whether it's true or not. It just says it's not necessarily a fact. It's a story. And so drawing up your inner thighs will in fact engage your adductors. That's a true story. And just pushing the carriage out and going from abduction, if you're in first position, to adduction will also engage your adductors, because you can't adduct your legs without using your adductors. So whilst it's a true story that drawing your inner thighs up will engage your adductors, it's not the only true story. It's also a true story that not drawing up your inner thighs whilst doing footwork in first position will engage your adductors. And here's where the problem creeps in. And here's where I've changed my view. That the people who have been taught the story that you need to cue drawing your inner thighs up in order to engage your adductors think everyone else is doing it wrong. And then they go and because they're socially responsible, you know, they think people, clients are getting substandard service because they're not being taught to engage their adductors by pulling up their inner thighs. And there's going to be negative consequence of that for the clients. So they want to make the world a better place where Pilates is taught in a better way. So they tell people who are not cueing to draw up the inner thighs that they jolly well ought to cue drawing up the inner thighs. Otherwise, they're not doing it right. And they're teaching unsafe Pilates sometimes, or at least ineffective Pilates, or at least not doing it properly. And then the people who have just been teaching footwork by saying push the carriage out as far as you can until your legs are straight and try and move the carriage as smoothly and quietly as possible and press your low back towards the carriage surface without mentioning any anatomy, they get told that they're doing it wrong and they think, gee, I've been doing it wrong this whole time. Maybe I'm not very good at Pilates. Maybe I was taught wrong. Maybe the people who trained me just didn't know anything and they were ignorant because they never taught me about all this splendid anatomy stuff, how to activate people's inner thighs by telling them to draw their inner thighs up. And the problem here, dear listener, in my view, is that without knowing anatomically what's happening and biomechanically what's happening inside the body when you do, say, footwork in first position, you don't know that that is bullshit, that you have to cue, draw the inner thighs up in order to activate your adductors in that movement. And so I now do believe that it is very beneficial, possibly even necessary, to be a great Pilates instructor that you learn anatomy. But not because inherently knowing anatomy makes you a better Pilates instructor. I still believe it doesn't. I think we shouldn't use anatomical cues with our clients because our clients don't care. But what you do get from knowing anatomy, and when I say knowing anatomy, I mean knowing it really well, is you gain immunity to the bullshit. When somebody says you need to cue drawing up the inner thighs in order to activate the adductors in a hip adduction movement, you scratch your head and think that is BS because you can't adduct your hips without recruiting your adductors. That's why they're called adductors. So plainly, this person telling me this doesn't know what they're talking about. And that's fine. You don't have to tell them that they don't know what they're talking about. You can let them live their life in peace and cue their clients to draw up their inner thighs in peace. But you will be immune, dear listener, to worrying about your own abilities and questioning your own skills based on knowing that is BS. Now, I've been talking about this whole inner thigh thing because I was inspired by a post on Instagram today by Adam McAtee, who was commenting on Alan Menezes' instruction to draw up the inner thigh, or actually press your inner thigh with your hand in order to activate the adductors, which is, to anyone who knows anatomy and biomechanics, BS. But there are countless other examples of this. And so I think, yes, I think it is of benefit to a Pilates instructor to know anatomy so that you can critically appraise anything that comes after the because. You know, you need to cue drawing up the inner thighs in footwork because blank. Okay, well, if you really know the anatomy of the hip, you can critically evaluate any statement that comes after the because. And it can make you immune to all the BS. And so you can go through life never cueing your anatomy, or in fact, using your anatomy in reverse. And this is a concept from martial arts in the early days of mixed martial arts, of which I'm a fan. They use pretty much kind of three main disciplines in mixed martial arts. One is striking, one is wrestling, and one is grappling, so sort of jiu-jitsu. And the grapplers, the people who do jiu-jitsu, they want to be on the ground doing grappling because that's where they have an advantage. The strikers, they want to be standing up, striking, because that's where they have an advantage. And so if you're a grappler and you're facing a striker, well, you need to get them to the ground where you can win. And in order to do that, you have to wrestle them. And so in the early days of mixed martial arts, the best wrestler would win because they could dictate where the fight takes place. So if you're a grappler and a good wrestler, you can grapple your opponent to the ground and then you can be in a position where you have the advantage. Whereas if you were a good striker, you would use your wrestling in reverse. So rather than using your wrestling to wrestle your opponent to the ground, you would use your wrestling to prevent your opponent from wrestling you to the ground. And so the good striker, who is also a great wrestler, would never wrestle. They would just be immune to the wrestling attacks of their opponents. And that is what I think applies in the case of knowing anatomy to teach Pilates. I think knowing anatomy really well per se doesn't make you a better Pilates teacher, but knowing anatomy really well and using it in reverse to become immune to the BS that can cause you to otherwise doubt yourself or go off on crazy non-evidence-based tangents allows you indirectly to be a better Pilates instructor because you're more confident and secure and can critically evaluate the things that come after the because. So, dear listener, that is my updated take on whether you need to know anatomy to teach Pilates. Short answer, no. Long answer, yes, but not for the reasons you think. Hope you found that interesting. Much love, and I will see you in the next one. If you struggle with anatomy, maybe you've learned it and you quote know it, but you don't understand it, or maybe you've never learned it. Either way, I've made a course that is just for you. It's not like most anatomy courses. If you've tried to learn anatomy before and it didn't take, probably it's not you. It's the way you were taught. Most anatomy courses just drone on with rote learning of muscle origins, insertions, actions, innovations, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean anything. You can't use it to problem solve. I've created a course called Visualized Anatomy, which will teach you to make an anatomically accurate picture in your mind of what's happening inside the body so you can use that picture to problem solve what's going on with your client. So when your client asks, why does my shoulder hurt in this exercise, you'll be able to figure out the answer. So come and do my Visualized Anatomy course. It's self-paced, it's online, it's a couple of hundred bucks. You can find a link in the show notes.